Hey, thanks again for pressing play, and welcome to another edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. I'm your host, John Voida, managing editor of brightsideofthesun.com, and I am super excited to come to you from the parking lot following the game. Here we are. Matthew and I both attended the game tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers. They made their annual trek to the Valley without Joel Embiid, did not play tonight. And you know what? The Suns did a little bit of that TCOB that we like to talk about, right? They took care of some business. So this will be an interesting one to talk about because there's definitely some pluses, right? The Phoenix Suns wins. There's definitely some minuses as well. Definitely some opportunities. 23 turnovers, not good. So we got a lot to talk about. Matthew and I are both going to be coming to you from our cars. Matthew, it looks like we are in the trunk of your car. It's like that classic Tarantino movie shot where it's the camera's in. Yeah. Where's your phone actually at?
It's in my console. Is that what you call a console? The phone holder? It's in there. And you can see me, yeah? That's as good as it's gonna get. Until I turn a corner and just flies into the passenger seat, but this is good for right now. I like this.
Hey, every now and then, Jamsters, we appreciate you flexing with us. You know, part of covering the Suns for Bright Side of the Suns is we go to the games. But we also want to come to you live and share our thoughts on what we saw. Matthew's apparently doing some work on his car is what it sounds like. But yeah, as John Tran says in the chat, he says, oh, nice, traffic jam session podcast. Yes, it's literally a traffic jam here. Everyone's trying to get out of the parking lot, and I figured that I do this instead of staying in the stadium another hour, possibly getting kicked out, and then coming home at like 11:30 at night. And then, so champions adjust, right? So that's what we're doing on this podcast. So a reminder to everybody who's watching along live or later, please hit that thumbs up button if you're on YouTube. If you happen to be watching on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram, pop over to our YouTube feed. Go ahead and give us a thumbs up there. It's the best way to support the podcast. You can do what Biscuits and the Bear did in the chat. $13 because the Suns won by 13. Oof, Book and Allen just one away from career accolades. Still glad to see the W. I hear you there. Devin Booker one rebound away from a triple-double and almost 10 three-pointers for Grayson Allen. So plenty to talk about on this edition of the Suns Jam Session Podcast. I got a Diet Coke. So, you know, I'm not going to drink and drive. That's simply irresponsible. So I'm going to enjoy this Diet Coke, and we're going to talk about this victory for the Suns, the 40th of the season. Win game number 40, a 13-point win, although they led by much, much more throughout this game. Wasn't really close. It was close with, it was like 38-36, and then the Suns went on a pretty spectacular run. Didn't look back, but it does bring me to my first question.
Oi, Matty. Mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, obviously a lot of talk over the past few days about the Suns' defense. I know that it's something that Frank Vogel mentioned in post interviews after practice yesterday, how the team is going to focus on their perimeter defense. In fact, that's where they spent the majority of their time. We know that Frank talks a lot, okay? Do you feel that tonight was sufficient action based on those conversations?
I think so. I think the bigger part of it for me was a lot of those shots didn't go in. I think they had some good looks, but I think the Philadelphia 76ers tonight didn't really have the players to step up and hit the big shots other than Kelly Oubre at times. I don't know the final statistics, but I just remember a lot of shots, a lot of hesitations, a lot of flybys, still some good looks, but a lot of misses too. So I don't know if it's short up on that end. I think that's the number one focus ending the season, the last 13 games, including tonight, the 14th game, where they had to make sure heading into the playoffs that's something that's shored up. But it's hard to say about this type of game just because I don't feel like the threes were really flying like at a high percentage like some of the other games. But obviously we've been through the worst against the Celtics and the Bucks. But this game tonight just didn't seem like it. Did you see that?
Yeah, from a defensive standpoint, I feel like there was more hustle and more grit from the Suns tonight. Those things that we said that they missed out on that road trip, right? Where they allowed more shots than a Florida State kid on spring break at Panama City Beach. It was like Floribama Shore out there on the road for the Phoenix Suns, right? And tonight, the percentage was down. Now, granted, the talent was down, but the percentage was down by the 76ers from beyond the arc. And I do feel like there was some extra hustle there. So, granted, it has to be sustained. And am I happy? You know, I'll ask myself this. Am I happy with the way the Suns defended tonight? I am. I feel like they're starting to adjust to the fact that you're allowed to be more physical in this modern NBA post All-Star break, right? What did Bill Simmons say on the pod the other day? That the free throw attempts are down lower. It's the lowest amount of free throws across the league per game since like 1951, right? So it's like there's definitely been a shift in the way that teams can defend. And it feels like the Suns have been a little late to the party. Well, they were a lot more physical on the interior tonight. And they were focusing on rotating. There was only a few times when I saw bad rotations, and I was watching for it tonight. I wanted to see those rotations. But the next – and I feel bad because it's like, okay, they finally rotated the way that they should. Let's see it again, right? Like, I'm not satisfied with one game in which they put forth the necessary effort. It has to be sustained. If that road trip was the come-to-Jesus moment of a team that – simply could not defend, and their coach finally had enough of it and instilled some accountability from beyond the arc, then yay, so be it. But I haven't seen that yet. It was a good game, don't get me wrong, but at the same time you gotta make sure that that's sustained, because these are the four games to do it, right? You got them tonight. You got Atlanta tomorrow without Trae Young and Jalen Johnson. You got two against the Spurs. If you want to get right defensively, if you want to instill defensive schemes and really focus on how to be effective on that end of the floor, this is your last chance to do it, because you got a hard closing schedule and then you got the playoffs.
Yeah, then even like ending the fourth quarter tonight, you know, the starting lineup was basically in there. But, you know, they've had issues, of course, in the fourth quarter. But I think a lot of
they did again tonight.
Yeah, I know. They really did. And a lot of these reps are just going to be needed no matter the score, really. If they're up by 30 points or so, I still want to see who they're going to roll with in the fourth quarter and see how they can really finish off teams. So that's one thing to watch, because, you know, with 13 games left, the biggest focus for me is really just those guys closing out, because we always thought we had the crunch time lineup, you know, of the century, really, with Eric Gordon, even Grayson Allen. But we've had such a tough time in the fourth quarters where we just got to continue to play through these and just, you know, just blow these teams out of the water, which tonight it wasn't like the best start at all. When it was 1-9, when it was like 7 minutes left in the first quarter, it was like 1-9 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was laughing my ass off. I was thinking, not the best start, but the way that they started the second quarter and finished this game, it looked pretty good. And, of course, a team that doesn't have Joel Embiid, that's definitely their weakness without having him. But it's still, I think it was a better effort by the team. There's still some more body language things and some bad play by Bradley Beal tonight, which is just kind of sucky, because you had such a good game from Booker tonight all around. And then Kevin Durant kind of closed it out with a good fourth quarter. But then Beal kind of falls off. So you're not going to have the perfect game all around. But tonight was a better effort. I think it's what you want to see heading in the right direction into the playoffs, because I feel like the playoffs, they start now for the Suns. I think Flex even said it on Twitter. He's like, the playoffs start tonight, and they do. And this isn't a playoff effort. This isn't a playoff. It's not a playoff, I feel like, rotation yet. But it's a good start, I feel like.
It is a good start. And, you know, as you mentioned, the game started with the Suns starting 0 of 8 from the field and 2 of 12. So it's like all that effort that Frank put on this team and all the focus on the defensive end, it's like, fuck, man, did you at least let them take some jump shots? Because it looked like they hadn't taken jump shots since they were in Milwaukee. So as the game went on, yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done for this team. And that fourth quarter again, you know, I don't have the stats. I'm in my car, and if I try to look at stats on my phone, you won't see me on or hear me on the podcast. So I don't want to spill my beer now, but you don't like, but it wasn't great in that fourth quarter. The turnover started to happen again. As I mentioned, there was 23 turnovers in this game by the Suns, 23. But because they shot so amazingly from beyond the arc, with Grayson Allen hitting 9 threes, with everybody pitching in, KD having an efficient game, it was something that was survivable, if you will, for the Suns. Again, we have to see it more consistently, but we can definitely acknowledge, you know, some of the performances tonight. And I really want to start off with Kevin Durant.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am. Y'all know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players to ever play a game.
So Kevin Durant tonight has 8 points at halftime, which tied him all time with Shaquille O'Neal on the all-time scoring list. Comes out to the 10:22 mark in the third quarter, hits a 16-foot smooth jumper, the same jumper that he has hit countless times in his career, and he passes Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq has a nice little tribute to him that they air in the stadium. Does take a shot. Hey, you're going to be number one someday? Fuck off, Shaq. How about that? You know, it's going to take about 3,000 more points to pass Wilt Chamberlain for number seven. So that's like a season and a half for KD. But I liked, outside of the turnovers again, some of those turnovers that happen with KD are just mind-boggling. Just dribbling, just dribbles it out of bounds. Or, you know, but a very solid night for him overall. While we were sitting next to each other, you felt he was a little off. Tell me about that.
Yeah, he looked a little off. But first, the nemesis appearing on the Jumbotron in Shaq, like Fisk from Daredevil, if you're familiar, it just reminds me of him up there in his suit, just a big motherfucker up there. And just like, he hates him. He hates Shaq. But congrats. Anyways, thank you, Shaq. I appreciate it. So I think tonight's game, the best part I liked about Kevin Durant, looking into that first, was his play tonight when he was just coming off screens and they were really hitting him in the flow of the game. That was really big with him tonight, just hitting those shots that were easier shots in the lane. You know, you can see trying to force it and trying to draw the fouls, which is not going to be a thing anymore. We talked about that earlier, but it's just not. So him kind of getting away from that, making the shots a little bit more easy, hitting his fadeaways in the flow of the offense is just so much more pretty. It's something where I feel like when you see that happening, you know that the ball control and stuff from either Beal or Booker is really going well. Either Booker's really maneuvering the game at a high level or Beal's doing it. Because I think when KD is just kind of that filler player, and it's hard to say that, but he's that guy that can just get those easier buckets in the flow of the offense, it's just a better look. The look with KD, so I always have this problem going to games, because I watch him obviously the whole time, and it's just like he just has those slumpy shoulders. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but it just seems like it's a frustrated KD, because I think with the big three really trying to form themselves, find themselves within this offense, I don't feel like there's a lot of feelings hurt, but I think there's a lot of the whole, you know, you're gonna have to take this quarter off, like, you know, books on it, and I don't know if that really has sunk in yet with this team. And I know we only have 13 games left, but sometimes it just looks like that. But that's the way I am. That's how I look in the field of these players. Because even in that Milwaukee game, like, he's just a guy that really just puts his head down and gets, you know, just too into his own head. And I just feel like I see that a lot with him on the court being at the games. But that's why it's kind of better if Beal or Book kind of take over these games and become the alpha and then have him play beside them. That's what I like the most.
And to me, it's not even necessarily becoming the alpha. It's simply the Sun saying, you know what? We're going to manage this offense. And I get what you're saying about KD. And again, I always have to preface this, because you'll get a KD stan who will watch this later and then call us idiots in the chat. And if you think we're idiots, so be it. Thanks for the view, I guess. Hope you hit thumbs up while you're here. But as much as I love KD, and he's an all-time great player. Yeah, he just passed Shaquille O'Neal for 8th all-time scoring. That is amazing. That is legendary, okay? All-time great score. But if we're going to talk about the confines of this Phoenix Suns team, what makes this Phoenix Suns team go is when Bradley Beal or Devin Booker are the facilitators. We've noticed it time and again when Kevin Durant starts to get into isolation basketball, he ends up taking really difficult shots. He's not flying by anybody and dunking after an isolation. He takes a tough shot or he'll turn the ball over. Now, granted, because he's Kevin Durant, he can hit some of the toughest shots that you've ever seen in basketball. And we love him for it, and we need him to have the ability to continue to do that. But that shouldn't become a primary form of offense at any time during a game for Phoenix, because that's where they get into trouble, right? I looked up a statistic today, and the Suns are – they run the sixth most isolation plays in the NBA. They run 8.3 isolation plays per game. The challenge is if you look at points per play, so points per isolation play, they're 13th in the league. So they take they have the sixth most isolation plays, but they score the 13th most points off of those. That's not the greatest statistic. I do want to drill down and see what that looks like from both Booker, from both Beal, and from Durant. But you make a good point there. What we saw tonight from Kevin Durant, and one of the reasons the Suns were successful, it was a lot more Beal penetrating and kicking. It was a lot more Booker being point Booker, right? He ended with 11 assists. He had 18 points and 11 assists. And what does that do? That opens Kevin Durant up. That opens him up to hit those jump shots. Or when he gets the ball, he can immediately fire. So it's not an isolation possession. It's a jumper. That's how he got his 10th point that set him over the mark over Shaquille O'Neal. Was a 16-foot jumper where it's like kick to him and let him hit. You don't need him to sit there and try to stare down the defender and allow them an opportunity to get set and try to swipe it at him. Because at the end of the day, no matter how great of a scorer he is, he's still 7 feet. And every time he dribbles the ball and you got a little guy on him, it's an opportunity for them to swat at it or to get physical. And that's what even like Draymond Green was saying about Kevin Durant, right? Like all you got to do is get a little physical with him in certain spots, you know, and you can take him out of his game a little bit. And that's all you have to do is try to take him out of his game a little bit. He's so great that it's hard to take him out of his game. So you got to play some mental games with him. So what we saw from Durant tonight was fantastic relative to that. He allowed the Suns to play through him the way that they should, not rely on him the way that they shouldn't.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I really liked it. That's why I kind of felt like the game was more of a beautiful game to watch, just because of that fact. And I think that with Beal playing alongside him and Booker playing alongside him, you know, when you have like the Book and Beal playing together, it's great at times, but I feel like the focus on the top of the key, the defensively, it's hard to get through for both Book and Beal because they're both playing up top. So I think when you have KD kind of sagging and stuff, that helps kind of relieve a lot of the pressure. So like that's when you kind of saw like Booker kind of take off in the second quarter, where he just controlled the game. He's like, he had his best Book game, and I feel like forever. Like this was like the best game I've seen him play in a long ass time. And it had to do with just his confidence in himself. Like you can see it, like the negativity I can see in Durant. Like I saw all positivity with Booker on the court and him just really feeling the game tonight, moving the ball exceptionally well. But the best part is like him getting to his spots early too. Like you haven't really seen that too much, where he really kind of got what he wanted to the top of the key, you know, in the paint area too. And he was moving the ball well to the corners when it was there. And like what has to happen is sometimes if he's playing along Beal might need to go stand in the corner. Like he has to like sit those plays out, not sit them out, but just be ready like everybody else, because Book can run that offense at a high level if the other guy can go stand in the corner or do something else to help his team go. Of course, you can run screens and Dirk and stuff, though, but a lot of it has to do with what Book wants to do. Whatever he wants to do offensively, those other guys have to listen at those times in the second quarter and the third quarter, where Book was just the best I've seen him in a long time.
This is where the KD people get frustrated with us, right? Because we sit there and we say, hey, the best way for this team to be successful is to let KD cook, but don't let him be an isolation facilitator, right? And then we go and we talk about Booker, and we're like, dude, Booker had a great game, man. Did you see the way he passed the ball? But it's kind of reality, and that's why he gets the drop.
Big Dick Booker.
As I mentioned before, Devin Booker, only 18 points in this game, but he had 11 assists and he had 9 rebounds. Jesus, man. Like, this guy cannot get that triple-double for the life of him. He had 7 rebounds in, like, the first 5 minutes because the Suns were so god-awful at shooting in this game that they couldn't hit shit, and he kept getting offensive rebounds. He had like 5 offensive rebounds in the first like 3 minutes. The guy I was sitting next to him, I was like, is that number right? And he goes, yeah, they keep missing. I go, yeah, I guess it is right. You know, but what you're talking about relative to Booker and how his, what the best way to optimize him, because you got to think about this, okay? This is the way that the Suns operated tonight, and this is the best case scenario, in my opinion. If Kevin Durant plays off ball and he can snipe you from 16 feet from beyond the arc, you're going to have a good night, right? But, and that comes off of him not being the primary facilitator, right? That comes from him being open when Bradley Beal penetrates, because Bradley Beal is your best penetrator on this team. He's the one who has the quickest step. He can get to the paint, and the more paint touches for Bradley Beal, the better this team is. And then you have Devin Booker's kind of hybrid of both. He's somebody who can, hasn't been great at shooting the three this year, but can hit the three, definitely can hit the mid-range. He can slash, and he can get to the rim as well, but he doesn't do it with the same level of talent that Bradley Beal does. So Booker doesn't have the same shooting ability or capacity as Kevin Durant, doesn't have the same ability to slash and get by defenders to attack the cylinder, but he's efficient in all regards. So what he did tonight was he kind of played within himself and within the offense. And as you were mentioning, a lot of things were going through him, because guess what? Bradley Beal initiates and he dishes to Booker, and then Booker makes the right decision. Either he's going to shoot or he's going to find the open shooter, who a lot of times tonight was Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal as well. And that's, again, that's where the Suns can thrive. But the things that we're talking about when it comes to Devin Booker and when it comes to the Suns isn't anything really new. This is a top offense and can be one of the best offenses in the National Basketball Association. And they have been throughout the season. It's the defense that I saw from Booker tonight that was most impressive. When I let off the top of the show and I was asking about, did we see something, anything on the defensive end that says that this team listened to what Frank Vogel provided them relative to guidance in practice yesterday? And Booker was hustling on the defensive end. He was closing. There was only one time I saw him not close out properly on Kelly Oubre, and Kelly then missed the shot. So I liked what I saw from him defensively, because as much as you want to talk about how things should run through Booker offensively, they can run through KD. I just don't think that, personally, as I watch the game, I don't think it's the best version of the Suns. They can run through Beal, and I like it when they run through Beal. I would prefer more offense to run through him. But the attitude needs to come from Booker, and it needs to happen on the defensive end, because KD is already an amazing defender, but he's also not one of those defensive leaders, if you will. Booker can fire some people up. Booker learned from Chris Paul how to yell at people and hold them accountable on the court. And to see him play with the fire tonight gave me hope. We still have a long way to go, my friend, but it gave me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, it really does. You kind of forget how good Booker can be, but I like the fact that you brought up the defense, because I didn't give credit to Kevin Durant defensively. The paint, he had some blocks tonight. I bet you only had one, but I feel like I saw 3 of them. But the shot to Durant down there, staying on his man, was, I feel like, pretty exceptional tonight. Also, yeah, Book did great. But Beal, too, man, like, he's really feeling it. When he wants to go after the other star, the other guard, the other team, like, he'll get into it, man. Like, he's one of those guys where I feel like tonight was terrible. Like, the stats were bad. But, like, the energy is always there. Because when he's thriving like he was tonight in the second quarter and the third quarter, it's like, Beal, you're not going to have a whole lot of the ball. Like, you're not going to have a high percentage rate when it comes to handling the ball tonight. But when we need him to step up, I feel like he can't be that guy. As long as he finishes out the season strong, like you said, getting to the rim, always ready for the shot. Defensively, he's getting better as the season progresses. He can turn that switch on. You know what I mean? Like, Book has to get in the groove of the game. He has to manage the game. And that is when we were at our best. Also with Beal, too. You saw it against Milwaukee. You saw it against the Celtics. Like, he had spurts in the game where Beal was the best player on that team. And he was the only guy that
yep.
could. So I know he can turn that on. So I can count on that. And I love the fact that KD can just play that second or third option offensively. And then Booker can just go at it and just start maneuvering this offense. And this team is his. And, of course, there's going to be the nights where he doesn't come up big like he did tonight. But then that's when Beal needs to step up and handle the ball more. I do love KD, but handling the ball is just not his thing. So they got to focus on getting that more to Beal. And I think that's a big fourth quarter thing, starting the fourth quarter with Beal. It's just giving him the ball and having him run the offense. And he does a good job at it. I just want to keep seeing it every game. Just like Bol Bol, keep seeing it every game. Just have him play minutes at the point.
I agree. The more that he does, the better this team will be offensively. But again, you'll hear me continue to hearken on defense, because that's been my frustration. And Joey Lucio in the chat, thanks for joining us as always, Joey, has a good question. He goes, are we figuring it out at the right time? And I'll tell you what, I hope so. And like I said before, we just need to see it some more. We can't look at one night against Philadelphia without Joel Embiid and go, yep, the Suns have figured it out. We just came off of a very interesting road trip. And I won't even say we're figuring out after the next four games. After the next eight games, if we go 6-2 over the next eight, I'll go, yeah, we're starting to figure some shit out based on how they're performing. We have some ways to go. Again, I have to see that defense back tomorrow night, the second night of a back-to-back. The Suns are 8-4 on back-to-backs this season. They're not going to play against Trae Young, who fucking tortures him. That guy goes for 27.2 and 11 assists in like 13 career games against the Suns. He fucking owns us. So I'm glad that he's not playing. But again, are we peaking at the right time? Are we figuring out the right time? I'm sorry. I think that there's a possibility, but you can't get your hopes too up to, you know, what have we learned about this fucking Suns team? Inconsistencies. We got to see some consistency. We've definitely talked a lot about Beal. There's one question that I have for you, Matthew.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
Boom, boom.
Like, why doesn't Bol Bol play like 22 minutes a night? That guy is an absolute game. That guy's an absolute game changer, man. Like, he came in when the Suns made that run, when it was like 38-36, right? Bol Bol comes in, gives you 8 points quick. Couple threes, something around the rim, gets some rebounds. And I don't know if Frank Vogel, you know, again, if Frank Vogel's playing completely for the playoffs and he's like, listen, I'm going to tighten it up around the play, and when the playoffs start and Bol Bol will get 22 minutes in the playoffs, you're not conditioning him to play that way. Like, right now is the time in which he should get 22 to 25 minutes. I can't believe that I'm saying it, but I completely and utterly support it. He, fantastic game from him. The only play that wasn't fantastic, so when he dribbled it off his foot, we kind of looked at each other, and you're like, yeah, he pulled a KD right there. He dribbled it right off his foot, you know? But Bol Bol has got to see more minutes, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it for forever. So the only thing is, like, that dribble off the foot, I told you, I mean, KD does that, so it's okay. Like, you get it. He got too excited there, so it's all right. Like, we'll let that one slide.
He did.
You know, he did change the game today in the second quarter when he came in. He definitely gave the Suns the energy they needed. But that's the thing, man, is, like, the minutes – they don't come when he just, you know, he shoots three from three or something like that, or else he hits some, like, easy layups around the rim and, like, all of a sudden he has 11 points straight for the Suns. They have to continue to come even when he's struggling. Like, I hate the fact that when he struggles, he's pulled and doesn't play anymore. Even when he does come in and hit two shots, he's pulled, doesn't play anymore. Like, there has to be a consistency with him because we have nothing else. Like, even sophomore Eubanks tonight, man, his play was so bad. And the talk up there in the media, the press box, was that why is Bol Bol not getting you? Because Eubanks look better too.
So you there, Matthew?
Huh? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, I was talking about Bol Bol. Did I break the internet? What happened?
No, I. You went silent for a couple points there, so I just maybe it's me.
Bitch.
I don't know.
Son of a bitch. Well, I was just saying that Bol Bol plays really good with Nurk too, and Eubanks, and that Bol Bol should take Eubanks' minutes But I think the best thing for him is to play alongside.
He won't, though.
I know.
He won't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He's not going to.
Vogel does not play him at the five.
I know.
He does not play him at the five, unless you're going small ball KD at the five.
No, I'm saying that's what I want, but I said he's playing good with Eubanks and Nurkic in there, so he plays well next to those guys. I still think that Bol Bol needs to play small ball five and stuff and try that out. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, I think especially with, like, Wemby coming up on the schedule, that might be an opportunity to kind of test it out. Well, I'm just like, well, I mean, you want to put him at the five, then put him at the fucking five, right? Like, I don't disagree that he should get minutes at the five at this point. I don't. I really don't. Like, fucking play Bol Bol at the point. I don't care. Like, he just needs to be out there. He just needs to be out there because he is productive. He throws a different look at the team, and they don't know what to do against him. And I know that when the playoffs come, it gets tighter. He'll get tighter. Opposing defenses will play him tighter. But at the same time, like, you got to give that guy an opportunity. You got to give him a chance to prove it. And you're right. If he makes two shots, he gets pulled. He misses two shots, he's pulled. Like, that's the conundrum that is Frank. Like, he's like, I got to get Drew Eubank more minutes. It's my mission in life. He's Monty Williams.
That's bullshit.
He's Monty Williamsing Drew Eubanks. Am I right?
Yeah, it's I can't stand it because, I mean, Eubanks had a good dunk down the lane, but even in that first quarter, they were going, I think the end of the first quarter, maybe the beginning of the second, they were going heavy towards Eubanks. It was Dylan Book in there, and they were running a lot of shit, a lot of screens, and a lot of movement from Eubanks, and they were trying to hit him, and he just couldn't fucking finish. Like, he couldn't. He brings the ball down. He loses the ball. He takes too much time. Like, he doesn't know. Once he grabs the ball, he hesitates for too long. It ruins the flow of everything. So that's what I'm saying. I feel like Bol has more of an understanding of what to do with the ball when he has it. He might screw up a few times. But, dude, this whole team, this whole year, has screwed up all year long. If there's one year that Bol Bol should be playing on a championship-contending team and getting minutes, it's this year where you turn the ball over 40 times a game. So it should be okay for him to play more minutes. So, I don't know. Fuck you, Frank. Like, we're not going to win a championship because you're not playing Bol Bol.
Somebody snipped that. That's fantastic. Fuck you, Frank. We're not going to win a championship because you're not playing more Bol Bol. That's fucking fantastic.
It's true.
We got to talk about Grayson Allen tonight. We just have to.
Hi, Barbie.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Oh, Grayson, Grayson Allen, our fuck shit up guy.
Grayson Allen, it's just like, it's so automatic. If he doesn't have six threes in a game, you're actually kind of shocked. And he ended with nine tonight, did not hit 10, unfortunately. But conversations, again, that we were having up in the media box was, this team is like, so from an offensive standpoint, it's like perfect. It's everything you want from a starting five. You got a big bruising center who just gobbles up rebounds. You got a guy who's shooting out of his mind next to a big three. It's like, why can't this team get it together more? And again, I'm going to go back and say it's on the defensive end. But Grayson Allen tonight once again reminded us why he is so valuable. Because of the spacing that he provides. Because, you know, we were breaking down the Suns' offense earlier. Where if KD's running less isolation and being an ancillary player versus a primary ball handler, this team is better. Ball movement. When this team moves the ball, right, and I'm sure one of the Jamsters can let us know how many total assists the Suns had, because I'd be interested to see that number. Because entering tonight, the Suns have had 21 games in which they had over 30 assists. They're 18-3 in those games. Conversely, if they have under 20 assists, they were 2-6. Okay, so moving the ball obviously creates great offense. Grayson Allen is one of those guys who benefits from that great offense, because when you kick it out and Booker's covered and he kicks it over to GA, there's so much collapsing that's occurred, and he just knocks it down, man. It's so much fucking fun watching him shoot the basketball. And I hope that everyone appreciates it, because it's historic shit that he's doing relative to this franchise. It's just another great night from GA, man.
Yeah, I think that he gets us out of a lot of slumps, too. Like, hits, just accuracy and hitting the three. Like, it's one of those things where it's like he might maybe wide open, but sometimes he's not. But when they hit him, it's like you just want him to shoot it. And a lot of those times when he shoots it, it's like, you know, it's going to go in. But sometimes, like, the offense looks stale. Sometimes the offense doesn't look like it's going to get anything out of it. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's Grayson. Let's just hit it. Let's hit him up and see what he's doing over there while he's right next to Beal, Booker, and KD. And he just knocks it down. And it is like pop a shot for him, man. It's like there's ever one guy ever. It's always it's going to be him at the top of the list of, like, you just think it's going to go in. Like, you just can't believe your eyes. And I think he beat. Did he beat Quentin Richardson tonight for the most? Did you already say that? Sorry, you were cutting in and out for me. Did he beat Quentin Richardson for the most 9.3 or 9 threes made or 6 threes tonight?
He had 9 threes. I don't remember if that's the record or not. I think 8 is the record for the franchise.
8 games. I think Richardson had like 9 games with 6 threes made or something like that. But I'm sure. I'm sure he beat that tonight, whatever it was.
Well, I like what Saul says in the chat. He says, can't say enough of Allen. He's also our point of attack defender, which is true. He says, good, bad, or indifferent. If you notice, I haven't said good, bad, or indifferent on the podcast in quite some time.
No, you haven't.
I notice when I say things too much, and then I try to go away from it. But Sabuk Stabar says, 33 assists tonight, and so does Saul. So there you go. So the Suns are now 19-3 in games which they have over 30 assists. So again, I've said it before, our offense is fucking sick. It really can be, and tonight it was. And we just hope that the defense can they can stay locked in on D. It just I can't get over that enough. Matthew, should we do Batman or Kermit the Frog tonight?
Oh shit. I would like to see. I would like to hear Batman in the dark. Unless you can do Kermit, do you have him in the car? Is he in the car?
I'm not going to do Kermit. Ew, gross.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Where is she? Have you seen Rachel?
No, Batman, I have not seen Rachel, but I've seen this fat guy right over here. Oh, my God, I'm Peter Griffin. Don't you talk shit about me, you little piece of shit, little frog. Why don't you go fuck a pig? Hey, oh, my God. There you go. You get three. There you go. So here's what was going on at David Ray. We can't even see you, John. Yeah, I'm driving home. So...
Can you imagine juggling all those disguises at once?
Oh my God, that's why I'm off camera. Like, if you're listening, this is just a normal pod. It probably sounds a little shittier. But if you're watching, yeah, I don't have my camera on. I'm driving home so I can get home safe, so I can come back and do this tomorrow. Oh shit, that's my exit. Let me get over two lanes like an asshole. But yeah, so on the subreddit tonight, here are some of the comments.
Devin Booker with a headband looks ridiculous.
Yeah, when did he start doing that? That must be new this season. Oh my God, look at that dumb headband. Devin Booker's hair looks like ball sack out of a condom.
Kevin Durant, I love him, but I hate him so much.
Kevin Durant just passed Shaquille O'Neal on the all-time scoring list. Who gives a shit? Oh my God, Kevin Durant, his legs are so tiny, they remind me of chicken legs.
That wasn't very creative, but it is what it is.
I was like, come on, you guys are better than that. You're Philadelphia, talk some shit. And then you had one asshole.
Ted Cruz. What a loser. I hope that he doesn't win in the upcoming election.
I don't even know if Ted Cruz is running again, but apparently Philadelphia.
He's running for governor or something. I don't know.
Wasn't he already the governor? I don't know.
Grayson Allen still has the most punchable face in the NBA. Oh, my God. Grayson Allen, if I
saw him in a back alley, I would be afraid that he would do my taxes.
That's a good one.
And then the last one, although I guess is, I like doing Kermit because it's easier on my throat to say it. the Suns are dog shit. They are playing against us without Joel Embiid. Fuck you, Devin Booker. Fuck you forever. And that's the subreddit stakeout.
The Suns jam session. Subreddit stakeout.
All right, Jamsters, let's hand out some hardware.
Jam star of the game.
It's your reminder to subscribe, rate, and review. If you're listening to the podcast, you're lucky that you don't have to not see my face, I guess. And make sure you give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. If you're watching, thank you ever so much for doing so. I apologize that I'm not on camera, but I'm driving home. So that's how much I love you. Instead of driving home and listening to the radio and rocking out, I'm here hanging out with you guys. So yeah, Matthew, who are you giving your jam star of the game to?
I'm going to give it to Devin Booker.
Sounds like you just got home.
I did, yeah. And I just saw my AirPods that I left. So annoying.
I give this one to Devin Booker as well. Almost a triple-double, but really dictated the pace in a game that was much needed in the win column. Again, 40-29 are your Phoenix Suns. So win tomorrow goes a long way in the standings. Speaking of tomorrow, we do have the Atlanta Hawks. Like I mentioned, no Trae Young, no Jalen Johnson. Are you afraid, Matthew? Are you there, Matthew? I might have lost Matthew. I am always a little afraid because this is a team that likes to shoot the 3-point ball. And good bet. Oh, shit. You're talking again.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Oh. Here, let me. Hello. Did we just pop on at the same time?
Yeah, we did. You can now see us. Are you worried about...
Smacking my gum. Shout out to Flex from Jersey. I don't know how he does it. The gum and talking at the same time.
It's a talent.
Yeah, we'll be at the game tomorrow night, right? We'll be there.
We'll be there again, maybe sitting above a section. We'll find out. This is, again, you just got to watch the three ball. I'm worried about the three ball. This is a team that likes to take threes. They're not the greatest at threes, but this is a team that is 500 since they've been without Trae Young. Trae Young has been out for 12 games. They've gone 6-6. They've actually got better from beyond the arc without him. That's what's interesting. Okay, DeJounte Murray is averaging 25 points and 8.3 rebounds without Trae Young. So they do have some semblance of an identity without him. A little Ewing theory, maybe? I don't know. But definitely something to keep your eye on. Don't mail it in just because they're like, oh, no Trae Young, no problem. You never know against any team in the NBA. Everybody reminds us of that. So that's all I got. I just got home. I'm going to pop inside. Matthew, you got anything else in your notes that you want to talk about before you get out of here? My God.
I think that's it. Go home with your family, everybody.
Do it.